Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to my beautiful planet Earth. I want to welcome you to It's All About You, the radio program that is celebrating life, prosperity, and unlimited potential. And I'm your host, I'm Darian Marshall, all happy and excited over here in Philadelphia because I get to do my show. And as I always tell you, whenever I get to do my show, I learn so much. I get a chance to meet exciting people with exciting ideas, and it's just a lot of fun all the way around. It's cold and rainy in Philadelphia right now, but it's nice to be cozy indoors with a nice cup of tea and just, again, sharing information and uplifting people all over the planet. Just fun stuff. My guest today is Leonard Goodwin, and he is author of this interesting book. It's called Echoes in the Universe, a Spiritual Memoir, and we're going to talk a little bit about that and talk to Leonard, find out some of the things he's involved in and goals he has for the book and some of the other things he's done. He's just a really interesting person, really easy to talk to, very relaxed. So just get your tea, get your glass of wine, your coffee, whatever you like to drink, and just sit back and enjoy the show. So welcome to the show, Leonard. How are you today?
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm fine. And yeah, the weather here is rainy, but warmer than where you are.
Oh, yeah. That's how you, 'cause you're in Tennessee, you say.
Tennessee, outside of Nashville.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Wow, that sounds beautiful anyway. Well, congratulations on your new book, Echoes in the Universe. I wanted to know, with you know, I'm so impressed and interested in different writers. I've become a writer recently. I don't feel as real as you guys, but whenever I talk to writers, I like to ask them, did you feel inspired to write this book? Was there any kind of, do you think God pushed you toward doing this? Or was there some kind of spiritual, I don't know, maybe nudge that said this book must be written?
Well, there are a number of reasons for it. One, I think I go back a number of years, more than what most people do. Mm-hmm. And I think those years, I was born just at the start. I brought in the Great Depression in 1929. And life was very different. And young people today have no idea what life was like before television, telephone. And some of my poems start back in those days. And I think it gives some perspective to young people, and especially to my grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
They're so caught up in the electronic age, they have no idea what it was like in the olden days, and that's part of our history, and including events of the Second World War. You know, those seem like ancient history.
Mm-hmm.
So one of my purposes in writing was to bring this ancient world alive to young people, so they have some perspective on what life, what their present life is like, what the background is. And then it did have a spiritual purpose because, and I would say the main thrust of the book is to show my own spiritual development, but not just for me, but to awaken others to their own development, which can occur later in life.
Mm-hmm.
Mine did occur later in life. And that I come to believe that all of us have room for spiritual development. And I hope my book would inspire people to look at their own lives and recognize those aspects of it that have been spiritually guided.
Now, it says a spiritual memoir. Is it, how is your book set up? Is it a series of essays, poetry, stories?
Well, I chose the mode of narrative poems. And that's, you know, people don't read poetry today, but narrative poems tell a story.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, the people where we're living now in an adult, active adult community, a number of people here have told me who've read the book that they find it easy to read, that they don't do a lot of reading.
Right.
But these narrative poems sort of concentrate the events rather than going into long narrative discussions, you know, that are, these sort of focus on the events like the you know, what's coming up is Martin Luther King Day. Well, I have a couple of poems dealing with his assassination and the burning of Washington, D.C., when I was working there at the time.
Mm.
And using narrative poems sort of concentrates that experience. But I've also included spiritual poems as well.
Mm.
And so there's a mixture of easily read material.
That's great. Yeah, because, for one thing, like you said, you covered things like the Great Depression, World War II, but you even come up to the whole thing about the election of a black president and then going beyond the Mayan calendar. So you seem to cover all different areas of life, of things that have just taken place over the years.
Well, a lot has happened in the last 80-some years.
Yeah, I know.
Yes, and I've brought up some other things since I've written the book. In fact, things have occurred. But what I've tried to do is to awaken people also to think of their own lives,
mm-hmm.
and remember and write down. And I think it's really important for people to record their own life experiences for their children and grandchildren, but especially for themselves, because we often forget what we've experienced.
Yeah.
We don't give it as much value as we might.
Now, this was my fault as a talk show host. I should have said something before I got on the show. But would you be able to share with us some of the different writings in your book, like on the air right now?
Sure. Well, I'd like to read one of the poems that's in the beginning. And this is a spiritual poem.
Oh, great.
And it has... These are sort of spiritual philosophical poems.
Oh, true. And this will give people a chance to get an idea.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
As we learn to welcome all aspects of life, storms and beauties of nature, personal pleasures and strife, we'll find our human form does more than first appears. Our form can resonate and dance to music of the spheres, and dream of new creations that benefit all beings and broaden cosmic consciousness beyond the bounds now seen. So that's an introductory poem. And then I have another few lines. It says, "This volume is a reminder that each of us is on a spiritual adventure that's grounded in the earth and echoes in the universe." That's where the title comes from.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Yeah, and why echoes in the universe? Why that word echoes?
Well,
mm-hmm.
I think our universe is created out of sound,
mm-hmm.
and resonance. I try to capture that. I think matter is materialized out of sound.
Right.
In this broad spiritual way. And so I've tried to get the idea of resonance and sound,
mm-hmm.
into the title and into the book.
Yeah, it sounds like a really deep book. You had to, like, dig deep. How long does it take to write a book like this? Or did it take you to write Echoes in the Universe?
Well, these poems come from over a number of years,
mm.
so that I'd say, some of them go back 20 years.
Oh, wow.
Just, the other year. And I sort of got them put together, and they turned out to have some sequence to them.
Mm-hmm. And I love the fact, anyone who has ever listened to my show, they know I'm like a crazy person when it comes to book covers, and I love a good book cover, and that's a beautiful cover you have here. Is there a special meaning behind it with the hand and the earth? That's the earth, yeah, and I'm not sure what the other planet is back there.
Well, yeah, it's sort of reaching out to the universe,
mm-hmm.
and the whole thrust of the book is that each of us is connected and important part of the universe, and that we exist both you know, in the mundane, everyday world, and at the same time we exist and affect the whole universe. So what we do is not just personal, it's cosmic.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's hard to imagine for some people, but I think as you advance on the spiritual journey, you recognize not only your interconnection with others, but your effect on others. And a number of the poems that I have in the beginning are sort of mundane. I might read one about that I call The Black Device.
Oh, great.
And this is about telephone.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay, this is, we're talking 1939.
Terrific.
And so this is sort of a sample of coming home from school one day, there was a stir. Mother and sister were watching the installation of a black device, which I recognized as a telephone. It stood in splendor on a narrow mahogany table. Sister and I took turns twirling the dial all the way around, watching it return with a clicking sound. Sister wished to call a boy in her class. Mother told us to wait till Father came home. Father carefully explained how each circular hole in the dial corresponded to numbers and letters printed underneath. He warned us about charges. 23 calls with the monthly bill, additional ones were extra. Each call to be numbered, so 20 was not exceeded. Sister and I listened with a pretense of patience until finally we could call one friend. That number was sufficient since few possessed this marvelous device. I don't know if you remember the dial phone.
I'm not 100, but I do remember the dial. And I remember the black phone. Some still growing up, some had that big old thing on the wall.
They were all black. You know.
Yeah. You know, it's just so funny. You know, even now, I'm terrible at phone numbers because we don't dial anymore. We just press one little button because, you know, the name is there.
Yes.
Right. I don't have any numbers in my head except my father that I can dial. It's amazing how things have changed over the years with that. In that poem, when you wrote that, was it to show how simple life was, or how, just reminding us how far we've come? What was behind that?
Yes, it was. Looking back, it was a kind of event that was big, you know, at the time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You can say, well, gee, you know, that's hardly anything. But it's, in fact, if others look back in their lives, they'll remember more and more. They may think they don't remember things.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the events that stand out, and you look back, and now it's in a different perspective, and that's useful.
Yeah, just you reading that, I never realized, yeah, I do remember all of that and that round thing. I guess now if you have one, it's like, what is it, chic or retro now, if you have it. But a lot of kids today, they don't know what that is.
It's something you'll see in a museum.
Right. It's amazing how things just change. I remember when I was little, we used to watch, like, the Jetsons, that cartoon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, talking to people on the big TV screen. And we just thought it was so cool. Who would have thought we literally do that now?
Yes. Yes, right. Exactly.
You know? I love it. Yeah, was there anything, like, particular that happened in your life that, I know, you know, you had a desire to write the book and get the information out and things like that. But did something specific happen to you that really gave you the desire and strength to write this book or to do any writing that you do?
Well, I've always, even, you know, since a teenager, I've written things. So writing is sort of part of my natural, you know, activity.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a motivation for writing a book came from coming on some spiritual awareness. And my upbringing was really in the science area. So I was good in math and science. And my first undergraduate degree actually was in physics. And so I was a very material-oriented person.
Mm-hmm.
The world was made up of material events, and life was just what it was, you know, in front of you. And it really wasn't until I, much later in life, I switched into social science eventually, and I was heading up a department of social science up in Worcester, Massachusetts. And by then I had some children, and I was heading a department, and I was running a major social research project, and I became overloaded and ended up with hypertension. And that set me on a path to look for some other ways of dealing with life.
Wow, yeah.
So I was getting into a health danger stage. And the medication they gave me for hypertension put cotton in my mouth, and I had a lecture, and so that wasn't very good.
Wow.
I got into biofeedback. And then somebody told me about getting into meditation. And so I went to a Buddhist meditation center that's near Worcester. And there I had my first spiritual experience. In going into meditation, I had a sense of being connected with the all, you know, the kind of Buddhist meditation. And that set me on a different path. I've written about that. I don't know if I can find that, but it set me on a path of recognizing that there was more to life than just what you saw in the everyday world. And due to the meditation, my blood pressure went down, so that was a real plus.
Yes,
and I then went on and had took workshops with some of the healers. Some of the your listeners may know people like Jack Schwartz, Rosalind Verrier, Barbara Brennan. And I began to learn that I had some abilities that were more than just math and physics.
Yeah. It's funny, when you mentioned being connected with the, what did you say, the all that is? Or it was
it's something that's described by so-called mystics. You know, mystics sounds like, you know, this is somebody unusual. But I think all of us have this capacity to be in a state, in a brainwave state, where you feel yourself connected with the universe, with other people, with everyone. And that puts you into a whole different framework of thinking.
And it's funny because nowadays, words like you said, the all that is in universe, and they're like common words now. Because I remember once, I mean, this is like 10 years ago, and a friend of mine, he was studying law of attraction and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And he mentioned universe. I'm like, what is he talking about? This it just sounds so weird to me, you know. And now I mean, it's the commercials, you know, for things, something as simple as a sugar substitute. You'll see people sitting around in yoga poses and breathing deeply and the wind is blowing and it's just a regular thing. And I remember I was watching one sitcom with one of the rappers and he told his girlfriend, don't say that. Don't put that out into the universe because I don't want to have to deal with that. And I said, wow, we're just using words like that now. It's just part of our everyday language.
Exactly, and we've come, again, people may not be aware how far we've come.
Right.
In that, and that, but I would pose, that's not in this book because the events hadn't happened yet.
Mm-hmm.
These recent events of murders. Like in Paris. Well, this is the counterpoise to that. You know, this growing awareness of our interconnection.
Mm-hmm.
We're in a struggle today between those who want to keep the old dualities and the old polarities and those who want to see the unity.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, this has been happening. And I don't see any guarantee of which is going to win out on this one. But I could read a poem.
Yes, please.
About a spiritual experience I had. This was after the Buddhist experience, and something that happened in just walking outside in the back of our house. It's called Summer Enlightenment. Behind our house, in the sunlightened field of yellow-green grass 2 feet high, with a path worn through, I walk to the rise of the hill where blue sky begins and the giant oak reaches for a cloud. I stand in silence, feeling warmth of the solar furnace soaking through my outer layers of self, feet sinking deeply into earth, taking root, body stretching upward, arms growing out. I am the tree, looking out beyond the field to urban streets, where busy human forms rarely raise their eyes to scan the heights to which they might ascend. My head touches the cloud, a billow of white floating in the blue. I am the cloud, the tree, the grass, the earth, the sky, the unfolding human drama, the I and we in total harmony.
Very nice.
So that I have peppered through there these kinds of spiritual poems along with the narrative discussions of, you know, of the everyday life.
I like the writing, and when you read it, I love the way it flows. It just doesn't sound like you're sitting there just listening to a bunch of poems. You know, it doesn't sound, somehow it comes off like poetry, yet storytelling, yet, you know what I mean? I can't explain it.
Oh, that's exactly it. What I would aim at is storytelling.
Yeah, there you go. Yes.
Even the spiritual poems are stories.
Yes.
They're stories.
Mm-hmm.
And stories are the ancient form of communication.
Mm-hmm.
And we need more storytellers.
Oh, we really do.
Not to get caught up in all the action movies. You know, they have their place. But a good story will capture the interest, you know, of children and their imagination. And that's what we need to, you know, talking about polarities, against the polarities and the violence, people need stories that tell them of unity and the worlds of where we both make a difference and are a difference and are interconnected.
Yeah, you're right about that. I was just at a friend's house about 2 weeks ago, and these guys, about five of them, they love action movies, things blowing up and people getting shot and all that. I took over a movie called The Song of Bernadette. It's an old black and white movie. It's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
And it's even about the little girl who saw the vision.
Mm-hmm. Yes, right. I know that. Yeah.
And I kept telling myself, I know it looks boring. It looks, you're going to love it. You could see they were kind of fidgety in the beginning, but as the movie started, you could tell they were sitting up, they were really getting into it. And one of the guys just said, he said, you know, this is really a good story. That's just the way he said it. And because he's Muslim, he's not Catholic at all, he doesn't believe it. He said, you know, I don't believe any of the stuff that I'm saying, but the story, this is really a good story. And I almost got chills how excited he was. It was almost as if finally I'm seeing a real story. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yes, I know that movie.
Ah, yeah.
In fact, it was playing on here the other...
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, that's one of my favorites.
A few days ago, for some reason, it came on.
How about that? See, we are connected, huh? But you know, they're all sitting there. No one's, like I said, no one's getting shot. No, nothing's blowing up. It was just a nice, peaceful story. And they were loving it.
Well, that's sort of, I would say my book is aimed at that. You know,
mm-hmm.
These are little vignettes, stories told to make a point. but not to make a point, you know, that... that you got to do this, you got to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's really to encourage people that their lives are stories.
Yes.
They're important stories, and they should not neglect their own story. And stories. And I encourage, we have a writing group here where people are writing their stories.
Oh,
and
fantastic.
Amazing. What, there's one of our people here, was 4 years old when he was in London during the Nazi bombing. And, you know, when he starts telling, he doesn't think anything of this story, but when he starts telling his story of going out and picking up shrapnel after the bombings, because as a kid, you know, you just go out and play, you get a sense of history that he doesn't think anything of.
Wow. Wow.
He's got these kinds of stories, you know, things that really took them at the time, you know, and were important.
Very good. If you're just tuning in, for one thing, it'll go right into the archive of the show, so you can always listen to it. It's really good. But if you're just tuning in, I'm chatting with Leonard Goodwin, and he's author of the book Echoes in the Universe, a spiritual memoir. And if you want to know more about Leonard, you can go to www.leonardgoodwin.com and find out some more information and the things that he's doing. And this is, you know, I forgot, I got to do the meditation segment. I got so into the conversation. Well, that means it's a good show. Whenever I lose track of time, that's like, I'm having a great time. So I just want to invite everyone to just, excuse me, just sit back and take a nice deep breath. And I want to just share with you some positive affirmations. And I'll be back in about 4 minutes. Just sit back and enjoy. Just take a deep breath and just allow all the cares of the day to just melt away.
Yeah.
I am the joy of God. Everywhere I go, everything I do with joy. I live my life today in joy. No matter what, nothing can hinder me from experiencing the joy I affirm that is my life. I am open and receptive to all the good that life has to offer. And my life is amazing. There is only one mind, and that is the mind of God. That mind is my mind right here and right now. All that I need to know flows to me now with ease and grace. I know what to do in all of my affairs, and for this I am grateful. I say yes to my abundant life. I say a sacred yes to being more, giving more, and receiving more. I know that I am fully supported by the universal presence. I say yes to living life more abundantly, and for this I am truly grateful. I am open to being the best me that I can be. As I open up to the divine's highest idea of my life, everything that I need is already provided. I am open to clarity and abundance, creativity and love. In this very moment, I acknowledge that my life is God's life. Anything that captures my attention that is not in alignment with this idea, I say no to. My heart is bursting with joy and excitement for my life. I am creative. I am magical. I am filled with love. I am made in the image of the Divine One. Life is really, really good. Life is amazing. It is truly fabulous to be me. And so it is. You're listening to It's All About You, the radio program that is celebrating life, prosperity, and unlimited potential. And I'm your host, Darian Marshall, and my guest today is Leonard Goodwin, and he is author of the book, Echoes in the Universe. Okay. You know, I always ask writers, really any artists, singers, speakers, dancers, about the support that they get. What type of support do you get when you write your books? Who supports you in your life?
Well, my wife provides a lot of support. And I have a writing group here that is supportive. And I get support from the from reading the stories, you know, and getting feedback from an audience. What I'd like to mention is that this spiritual stuff is not all just pleasantries, and it doesn't mean if you're on a spiritual path that you don't have difficulties. And I guess it's about 18 years ago, you know, I suffered a major heart attack. So it isn't that if you're spiritual, you know, everything just goes smoothly.
Right, yes.
And I had a blockage in a major artery. And we were living at that time in the Blue Ridge Mountains, and it took an hour and 20 minutes to get to the hospital. And so they estimated I might have lost as much as 40% of my heart function.
Oh, wow.
And I'd like to read a passage about that. This is during the hospital stay, and they used a clot buster to break open this descending left anterior artery. I asked the doctor if there was a worse place to have a heart attack, and he said, yes, but you would be dead. And in the hospital, I had a second heart attack, and they went down back to the cath lab, and they put in two stents into that artery.
Mm.
This takes place coming back to my room in the hospital.
Oh,
back
wow.
in my hospital room, I'm in despair over this turn of events. Lean back on the hospital bed, raised halfway to facilitate my breathing. Close my eyes, hoping to sleep as daylight fades. Instead, I become aware of seeing the opposite wall through my closed eyelids. White light is radiating from the wall. I sense myself moving toward the wall out of curiosity. Then comes a message, not in words, but as a knowingness. You've done enough on Earth plane, are free to leave for home by walking through the wall of light. I feel myself moving closer to the wall, but then the silent message continues. Once on the other side, you will not return. I understand. I suddenly realize this is a near-death experience. And I decide, I stop before the wall of light, decide to stay on this side. Then, totally unexpected, comes a further message about an unexpected figure, one who is in my lineage, but appropriated by Christians. The message is that Jesus came as a spiritual teacher to demonstrate how human beings can maintain an open, fully functioning, loving heart that embraces all living beings in spite of experiencing the worst of earthly terrors. I open my eyes to a darkened room, feel weak, but despair has listed. I know that dying consists of walking through a doorway to another destination, a walk I'll take at another time. It took, however, months to recover, and today, if I go to a cardiologist, they get into, they say, did you know you have lost 30% of your heart function, and yet I pursue everyday activities.
Wow. I mean, you really are a storyteller. I'm just sitting here listening. That's good. I mean, that's really good. I mean, I just saw myself there while all this was taking place. It's kind of scary.
Yeah, it is.
Did you, like, while it was happening, did you feel fear, or was it after when you realized what happened? Yeah.
When this goes on,
mm-hmm.
you know, it takes a minute or two to realize you've entered a different reality.
Mm.
And if you're not used to it, you can get frightened and upset. But this is something I'd read about. You know, having a near-death experience would have been one of my top priorities.
Wow.
But when it happened, you know, I recognized what it was.
Oh, I see. You're right. Yeah, you mentioned it in the story. Wow.
You didn't know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might not be able to use it. The point of knowing what it is you can make use of it and ask questions and get information. But what it indicates is we all have the capability of being in altered states where our awareness goes to other levels. And the things you read about in the Bible, you know, the prophets and visions, it's not just ancient stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That can go on right today.
Wow.
And people have that capacity. The human being has that capacity to tap into these alternate realities. I can't say I can do this at will. Some people can.
Mm-hmm.
When they occur, you want to be ready.
Ah.
And I was told that if I stayed, I'd get my heart function back. It did not come back in terms of the 30%. It came back in the fact that I, my activity level is the activity level. When I did a stress test after I got better, and I was doing better than an average person my age.
Wow.
So it came back, but not the way I thought it would come back.
Yeah, how about that? Yeah, that's interesting. That part you mentioned in the story, my mind is on a million things at the moment, you know, when you're hosting a show, where you came up against the wall and you kind of made a decision
yes.
to stay. Like, were you fully aware? Did you know, like, no, I'm going to stay here and finish my work, or is it a feeling? How did that unfold?
Well, I knew what would happen if I walked through the wall. When you walk through the wall, you get the pull of, quote, home, and home is where you spiritually come from.
Oh.
I've had previous experiences of what home is like, and I knew once I was on the other side, hey, there'd be no going back, because the other realm, the home realm, is just so much more inviting than the earth plane.
Oh, wow.
You know, people that have had it, you know, describe it as absolute love, and you, it's just irresistible. So I knew if I stepped through, I was not going to be coming back.
Amazing.
And while they told me that I had done enough, first of all, I hadn't even written a will. This was totally unexpected, this heart attack. I had no inkling of it, had no will. My, you know, finances arrangements would have been chaotic. And I had a sense that there were yet other things I could be doing, which has turned out to be the case.
Mm-hmm.
So when I stopped, it was sort of in full knowledge, you know, what would happen if I walked through and what would happen if I stayed.
Man.
Staying in the earth plane, hey, this is a hard task. You know, is no bed of roses. As I don't have to tell anybody. And getting into the spiritual realm is one way to make it livable and productive.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we do here, the earth is connected to the universe, and what we do here, as bad as it may seem here,
yes,
it has an effect. And the guys who are doing the killings out there are having an effect, and others of us need to counterbalance that.
Yes.
Not just ignore it or give into it. You know, we're on the edge of going one direction or another.
Yeah. It's that last story did something to me. I'm like, my goodness, trying to get my thoughts together here. Wow. Yeah, I've always heard about near-death experiences and things like that. And they sound similar, you know, a little different depending on the person and the circumstances, but that same moment of a decision to make whether or not to stay or keep going through whatever that, either the wall or through the little doorway, or you know what I mean? They all sound similar.
It's a reality.
Yeah.
You know, those who've had that know it's as real as our everyday reality. In fact, it's more real.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can use it and get messages, like the message about Jesus, that's totally outside of my realm of awareness.
Yes.
Thought of. And that's what happens in these altered states. You get in touch with things that are out there that in your conscious state, you're totally unaware of. And so I've come from, you know, being thinking that our conscious state was the only state to knowing that's just one of our states.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an important state. It's not to, you know, be neglected, but the whole idea, it goes back, you know, these sayings of being in the world but not of it.
Yes.
That's what that's about, is you're in here consciously, but you're more than that.
Oh, yeah. Well, all of the listeners who listen to this show, they totally understand what you just said. So this is, well, we're down to like a minute and a half. Boy, this time just flew by. It's amazing. You know, it's so, one thing I really love about this show, you never know how it's going to be.
Let me just mention that one of the things I was able to do with it and another group is open up an energy portal under the Vatican in Rome in 2011.
Really?
And our understanding is that the Pope is actually making use of that energy field that was opened up during that time. An energy field that was set there by St. Peter, according to what our spiritual connection is.
Okay. What do you mean? You went there and...
To Rome.
You went to the...
A group of 12 of us went there.
Mm-hmm.
The leader of it, Patricia Fields is a psychic and a psychologist and a psychic, and she led the group, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time, there was an energy field under the Vatican, under the St. Peter's tomb there that had been closed. It was set there by the Etruscans many years ago.
Wow.
And anyway, it enables the senses of interconnection. And I can't say, but the current Pope is certainly reaching out into interconnections.
Yeah.
In a way that is totally unpredictable.
I mean, I would never expect the Pope to even, won't even acknowledge anything like that. Wow.
Well, I don't know, you know, I'm just saying that what we opened up seems to be in line with what he's doing. So maybe it made some contribution to what he's doing.
Oh, I'm sure it did. Like you said, really spiritual people, no matter what religion they may be in, that's a similarity. They can recognize
exactly
when truth is sitting right there in front of them, no matter how it may look.
Right, and these are the efforts that are trying to counterbalance the radicals who are on the other end of hatred and division and murder.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
As against life and affirmation and creativity. And the way to deal, my experience in dealing with the negative forces is not to fight them in a battle.
Mm-hmm.
Transcend them.
Yes.
Give them power. But to move to a different level, so you're not on a battlefield. Of course, that's where they get their energy, on the low-level battlefield.
Right.
You have to move to transcendent awarenesses and incorporation. Violence is part of our heritage, and it's not, you know, we're not going to totally get rid of it. You want to channel it and make use of it.
Make use of it. Well, that's the perfect way to end what another fabulous show. I got to say, I really had a good time today. This was wonderful.
Thanks so much.
I was speaking with Leonard Goodwin, and he's author of the book Echoes in the Universe, a Spiritual Memoir. And please, if you just tuned in late, go back and listen to the show in its entirety. It's just really a fun, uplifting, and I don't know, I just feel great after having this show. I don't know what to say.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. I know you're so busy. This is great. And your website is leonardgoodwin.com.
Right.
And do you do speaking engagements or anything? I wanted to throw that in there really quick.
Well, I can. I have done. I haven't done any lately, no.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, I'm open to that, certainly.
Oh, great, great. So you hear that, everyone. Just go to the website and take a look at some of the things there. And, what another great party we had. I thank you all for joining me this week. And I look forward to being with you next week. I don't have the schedule in front of me, I think. Her name is Rivi Neshama. She was on the show once before. She has a beautiful book of poetry she's written, so she'll be back with us next week. So I just look forward to being with you all again next week, and so it is, and have a great night.
Good night.